Well, that's a great, it's really wonderful to rejoice and celebrate. I really see the communion as the high point of the worship service as we exalt Christ and what he's done for us on our behalf. So, was having a conversation with a church member who was serving in children's ministry just 2 weeks ago, and so she was asking the normal questions, and how many children do you have? Oh, I have 4 children. And this is Nathaniel. Yeah, no, not Daniel. No, Nathaniel. And yeah. Oh, your Chinese is okay. I can tell that you were born in America. You know, those kind of standard conversations and questions. And you know, where does your son go to school? Oh, he goes to Exley. What about your son? Oh, yeah, he goes to this school. And does your wife work? Oh, no, she works part-time, but she works full-time as well at home. And how about you? No, oh, no, I don't work. What about your husband? What does your husband do? Oh, yeah, he's an engineer. Oil and gas, you know, kind of the standard profession. And so we're speaking all of this in Chinese. And then her last question to me was, what do you do? And I said, I said, oh, well, I was the Taijian, the Yingwen Musher, you know. I'm the English pastor here. So that was fun. She immediately, was embarrassed. Lin Huizu Musher. Oh, yeah, we've heard about you. I'm just so sorry. I just don't ever go to the English worship, you know. But that's okay. I love doing that. I love, you know, kind of hiding behind the scenes and then just kind of bringing it on people at the last minute, you know. They don't know who they're talking to. And then I said, oh, I'm the English pastor here, you know. And the guy next to him was embarrassing. He said, well, why didn't you tell me this was the English pastor here? You know, you knew all along. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, I just kind of let you figure it out on your own and that kind of thing. So we have fun. I love doing that when I'm in Chinatown and just kind of being incognito and telling people if they, you know, they don't know who I am, you know, and you just kind of keep it low key there. And, yeah, I go to Katie Church. Oh, yeah, you go to Katie Church, you know, anyway. Okay, but, so, yeah, what do you do? What is your work? You know, a very important question that we like to ask one another. In fact, sometimes when we first meet someone, that's one of the first questions we ask. What do you do? What is your work? And we are going to be talking about that in the next several weeks. We are going to be doing a series on work. And we have just started talking, or we were just talking about the healthy church. And we want to move into talking about the healthy Christian life. But as we do this, in light of all that's going on in the Katy area with job insecurity, people losing their jobs, we want to have a good theology and background for work. As I said, this idea of work and what do you do seems to be very important to men or people. But sometimes we might have the misconception or the misunderstanding that God doesn't really care about our work or what we do. Well, that would be quite alarming, because for most of us who don't wear the cloth, who are not in full-time ministry, our work, what we do, whether it's at school or at home or in a company, is where most of us is going to be spending the majority of our waking hours, right? The majority of our lives is going to be spent at school or work or home. And to say that, have this idea that God only cares about what I can do for him at church after hours or when I get off of work is really a misconception. So God values what we are doing for the majority of our days, for most of our lives. And so I want to look at that. Does how, and I want us to have a foundation this morning that your work matters to God, and how we can bring honor and glory to God in our work. And for those of us who are students, anytime you hear work, you just think of the word school or in our studies, okay? So we're going to take a look. We're going to be starting off at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. So please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. And your work matters to God. Paul starts off in verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he's kind of bringing down the fire from heaven here. Okay? He's saying, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and here's the command, verse 6, that you keep away, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. So what is the command? What is Paul commanding the Thessalonians here? He's commanding them to keep aloof, to stay away from someone who's leading an unruly life or an undisciplined life, some versions say. Now, what does this mean? I think we'll see here later in the passage that the undisciplined, the unruly, the idle life is someone who is not working for their own keep. And so the command specifically is to exercise church discipline on someone who is leading an undisciplined life and not working for their own food. The implication then is that hard work matters, is God values hard work. Okay? The specific command he's saying is exercise church discipline on somebody who's not working for their living. And the implication then is the Lord values hard work. In that, now, he's going to illustrate this by some bad examples and some good examples from himself and showing that this is a command that he had laid down in the churches. So let's look here in verses 7 through 11. Let's see how he unravels this, how he unpacks this. Verse 7, he says, "You yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you." Okay, so there's that word again. We weren't idle, we weren't unruly, we weren't undisciplined. Okay, verse 8, how did he do this? "Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship." So that's the negative. He didn't do this, but with labor and hardship, the positive, we kept working night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. All right? See, what was happening is that a lot of the people in Thessalonica were rightly expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to return. However, some people misconstrued or misapplied that truth, and they said they were doing things like, "Hey, Jesus is going to come back anytime, so I don't need to work. I just kind of sit back and wait for Jesus to come back." Well, that's a misapplication of a spiritual truth. It's kind of like when I used to ask the students, "Hey," so I'll just ask Jonathan right here, "Jonathan, does God love you whether you make an A or an F?" in your class. Does he love you just the same? Right? God loves Jonathan whether he makes an A or an F. So then I ask the next question to my students. I say, well, then why do you have to study? Right? And then I say, come back next week and we'll talk about the answer to that. Okay? So it's the same thing, right? That's what the Thessalonians were doing. They were saying, hey, Jesus is going to come back. Then, you know, all this material stuff is going to be done away, so I don't need to work. Well, that was a misapplication. And so he's using a negative example of showing what people were doing. They were basically then living off of wealthy people in the church. They were loafing off the wealthy people. They weren't working for their own bread, right? They weren't eating their own bread, some of your conversions say. They were just loafing around. Do you guys still use that term, loafing around? Anybody still use that? You know, being lazy, right? Landor, okay? So you don't want to do that. You don't want to be loafing around. You got to eat, work for your own bread, right? That's what Paul is saying. So that's the negative example. The positive example was from his own life. He said, we work night and day. Paul not only was passing out tracts, doing evangelism, teaching Sunday school class, you know, going to church council meetings, but he was also probably, we learned from Acts 18:3, he was also probably working with his hands, making tents. And so he was setting a positive example of how to work for your own living. And then he goes, why did he do that? Let's look at the end of verse 8. He says, one reason, we didn't want to burden you. At the end of verse 8, we didn't want to burden you with that. In verse 9, he goes on and he explains, not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, that you might follow our example. So Paul, he had every right to be supported from the Thessalonians and other believers, other church members. We see that clearly in 1 Corinthians 9. The laborer is worthy of his wages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 tell us that. So he had the right to do that, but he didn't exercise that right. Why? Because, as he told us, he didn't want to be a burden to them. And also, he wanted to set a positive example. And then, in verse 10, he shows that this was not only an example that he set forth, but he led by his words as well. It was a command from the Lord. In verse 10, he says it here, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this command, this order, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Okay, so that was a clear command put down from Paul. And then he gives another negative example. Verse 11, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. It's an interesting word here. The NIV, I like how the NIV translates it. It says, you're not being busy, you're being a busybody. And the word, the Greek word here is ergazomai. You know, you're not doing ergazomai, which is where we get the scientific word. Do you know what it is? The erg, right? And we got a couple of engineers in here, right? Do you guys work with ergs or talk about ergs? I think we only do that in physical science or physics, huh? But it's where we get that, the unit of work, right? Which is related to the joule, all that stuff. Yeah, you'll get there. Don't worry, brother. You'll get there eventually. But they're not doing work. They're doing peri-ergazomai. They're just kind of, since they're not busy doing work, they have all this free time. They can just go from house to house and gossip and talk about what everyone else is doing. They're acting like busybodies. And so Paul does not want us to do that. He doesn't want the Thessalonians to do that. And so the command again is to discipline the couch potato. Okay? Do you guys use that term still? Eva, do you use that term still? Couch potato? I just want to make sure. And the implication is that God values hard work, okay? You guys know what a couch potato is? Sorry, I don't have a real potato, so I had to raid Stan's office. Sorry, Stan. Stan, we have this agreement that I can kind of go into his office anytime and borrow things. And he can do the same for me, but there's not a whole lot that he does that for me. I do that more for him, actually. So, yeah, we don't want to be the couch potato. Couch potato is someone who just sits around and does nothing, right? Just sits on the couch, watching TV, playing video games, playing with his cell phone, and so specifically now, Paul is saying, discipline the person who's not working for his own keep, okay? We want to encourage us to be people of industry, to work hard, whether it's at school or at the company. And so I want to commend you. I want to commend Katy Christian Community Church members, because you are hard workers. You are hard workers. I mean, we work hard at the company. We work hard at our algebra. We work hard at our Chinese. Some of us do. We work hard at the church council meeting. We work hard at preparing for worship. We work hard in our marriages. We work hard in raising our children. I mean, we are hard workers. And so I want to commend you. I mean, we got the Asian work ethic in our blood. And, you know what the Asian F is? A minus. That's the Asian F, right? You heard of that before? So I want to commend you. I mean, the other day, you know, I had a child come home and say, Mom, I got a 72 on my report card. Could you believe an Asian getting a 72 on the report card? Unimaginable. April Fools. Okay, got him. You got him, right? Okay, so I want to commend you. You are hard workers, and keep it up. In fact, I think part of what I need to exhort you in today is to relax a little. I mean, take a vacation. Rest. That's also, don't overwork. Don't get consumed. Don't let work be your idol. Okay. So there is a minority among us this morning who may not make straight A's on their report card and work so diligently at your company. And that's okay. God still loves you, right? So God values hard work. I think maybe the application for us is that sometimes as we are a part of the greater culture, we do need to watch our leisure time and make sure that we're not falling into laziness. I'm all for watching a little bit of March Madness, you know, or sports, or getting on social media. But we all have to kind of understand where our weak points might be when it comes to entertainment and leisure and becoming that couch potato. And for me, I just have to watch how much sports that I might watch on the computer. For you, it might be some soap opera, or it might be how much time you spend on the smartphone. You know, I'm trying to read all these statistics, how much time Americans spend on their smartphones, and some say 4.7 hours a day, some say 1.5 hours a day, but whatever it is, it can be too much. And so there's nothing, I want to encourage you to rest and to have leisure and to recreate, but be careful that it doesn't control you and become that you don't, you do it in moderation, right? Not to excess. So God values hard work. Okay. Now, he goes on in verse 12 and tells us the command, the explicit command. He tells us in verse 12, "Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." So there we do. We have that illustration again of eating your own bread, earning your own keep. He tells us to work in a quiet fashion. And that's probably related to, hey, just mind your own business. If you look in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he's promoting the same thing, to work, to do your own work, and just mind your own business. Don't go around being a busybody, gossiping about what everyone else is doing. Just do your work faithfully. And to eat their own bread. So, and again, he brings down the fire from heaven. He says, exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So the second main command here is to work and earn your own living. And it's important for us to have a theology to understand that God values our work. In fact, as I mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he talks about minding your own business, just doing your work quietly. In Genesis 2:15, if you will look there, at the very beginning, even before sin entered into the world, God said this: "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." So even in perfection, paradise, God affirmed work. He wanted Adam to work the ground. And I believe in heaven, in the eternal state, as we look in Revelation 22:3, let's look at what it says: there shall no longer be any curse, right? Now, of course, after the fall, we have to work a lot harder. There's going to be weeds and all. But there shall no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him. So I believe that in the eternal state, there's going to be some element of service to God. There's going to be some element of work. In fact, a lot of times when I praise God and I worship him, I'm lifting my hands. It's both an emotional connection to God, but it's an offer to God that, God, I want to work for you. I want to serve you with my hands. So we want to work and earn our own living. And then coming back to 2 Thessalonians, just at the end, in verse 13, let's take a look there. "As for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." So the final command, the main verb here in this passage is persevere. Persevere. And he says in doing good, and or don't lose heart in doing good. And I think the good he's talking about here is what, in the context of earning your own keep, working, and there might be an element of contributing to the needs of those who are needy. Giving, okay? But persevere, don't lose heart. It's this word that's used a lot in 2 Corinthians 4. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. And so, you know, because sometimes it's tough to stay on the job. It's tough to stay in school and to keep working. And so Paul realizes that, and he encourages us to persevere in it. Don't lose heart. Stay at it. And so I just want to give some ideas on how can we keep that fire, that motive to persevere, to not lose heart. And I want to bring out a couple of thoughts, and maybe you can come up with your own ideas as well. Persevering in your work, as we see our work, our employment, our school as something that we're doing unto God, that maintains that fire, that motivation within our hearts. Now, how can we make sure we do our work unto God? Well, we want to do our work with excellence. What does it say in Colossians 3:23? It talks about, "Do your work heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve. And so as you see that where you're working, whether it's at the company, the oil and gas company, or teaching at the school, as you are serving God, that helps us persevere. Ephesians 6 says it really, really well. I'll just read it there. If you would like to listen or read along with me, Ephesians 6, 5 to 8 just tells us, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service, as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord, and not to men." Okay? So, when you're working at Shell, you are not working for Shell. You are working for God. And so you want to do your best. When you are, you know, I had a hard time with physics at Rice. And so, you know, I had to say, you know, God, I'm not studying physics for my professor. I'm studying it for you. So I love physics. I didn't really love it, but I was trying to, you know, do that psychological thing where I trick myself. But it's okay. Don't do that. But, you know, Lord, you can pray, Lord, help me to love physics. Okay, that's okay. All right. So you want to do our best because we're doing it unto the Lord, right? Hear ye the master's call. Give him your best. For be it great or small, that is the test. Doing the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. Okay, great. That's the old hymn. You grew up in the Baptist church. And I love it when I got to the age where I could sing in bass, because that wasn't always true. But later as I got older, I could sing in bass. Okay. So, unto God, and do it with excellence. You can, on the job, you can meditate on spiritual truth. I used to work at home, too. And I must have changed 5,000 diapers in my lifetime, so that my wife could go in and learn Chinese and get adjusted to the culture. And so if you're on the job, you can think of, you know, a spiritual analogy while you're on the job. And as I'm wiping that bottom clean with those diaper wipes, I can think, praise God, he has wiped away all my uncleanness. And I am white as snow. Okay, so you can have fun with that. You know, maybe you're in the oil and gas, so you can think, man, God, the Holy Spirit is the oil in my life. Whatever, okay, have fun with it. Meditate on spiritual truth on your job. Be ethical on the job, right? I got my first job when I was 15, and I was unethical. I lied on the job. I lied on the job, but I got found out, and I was fired. Okay? Fast forward 7 years later, Bobby Lee Tech High School, Lee High School, supervisor, oh, come on, Wade, just doctor up the numbers of the inventory. Sorry, supervisor, I can't do that. I got to be ethical, right? Okay, so we can be ethical. So this helps us to stay at it, to persevere in our work as we do our work as unto God. Okay? We don't cheat at school, right? Also, unto God, do it with excellence. Meditate on spiritual truth. Be ethical. You can come up with your own ideas. Also, let us see our job as a way that we serve others. We want to treat coworkers with respect and care. We want to witness for Christ on our job. Just this last week, I was witnessing on the job. We have a custodian who cleans our church. And I just recently ordered some Spanish gospel tracts. By the way, if you need a Spanish gospel tract, who knows someone whose Spanish is the first language? You live around, you work around somebody, you go to school around someone where they come from a Spanish-speaking background. Anybody here in this room? Yeah, I think. Okay. So, by the way, and I handed him the tract a couple of weeks ago and asked him to read it. So please pray for our church custodian. He comes from a religious background, but pray that he will truly trust in Christ as his Savior. And by the way, you know, it's okay. It's okay to witness for Christ. Now I know there's laws and there might be some persecution, but hey, I would say just go for it and let the chips fall where they will, right? Especially as someone who may be cleaning your company, they probably aren't going to take you to human resources and charge you, right? But even if they do, that's okay. You know, God has a greater plan, you know. I've been persecuted for sharing the gospel. That's okay. How many of you know a prayer group or Bible study at your work or school? There's a prayer group or Bible study. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and join it. How many of you know there's not a prayer group or Bible study at your school? Okay, well, it's got to be one or the other, right? So if there is a group, as I said before, join it. If there's not, start one, okay? I know Pastor Young told me that there used to be one at Shell when he was working many years ago. Remember how your work serves others. So I think this is really, really good and important. Of course, it's pretty easy for those of us who are in the helping professions, such as physical therapy or nursing or teaching, counseling students. We can say, oh, yes, I am serving others. It might be a little harder for those of us in, like my wife used to be an engineer and working in engineering. But as we talked through yesterday, yes, because of those bolts, that she's not just making bolts, right, honey? Lug nuts. Foundation, okay, building a good foundation for oil platforms, but because of that, she is allowing companies to extract oil, which helps in transportation, which helps spreading the kingdom of God all throughout the earth, right, as we can have easier modes of transportation. Okay, so remember how your work serves others. And then also, exercise stewardship. Again, God has gifted you with certain talents, gifts, and experiences. And we want to use those in the most fruitful way for His kingdom, for His honor, for His glory. And this is a lot of fun. You know, already we're talking about our children. Oh, this person likes numbers. Maybe he'll go into something financial, you know, or something like that. And just understanding from Genesis 1:28 that God has commanded us to subdue the earth, that we have a stewardship to be responsible for making the world a better place, if you will, for taking care of God's earth and taking care of the creation and serving others. And in the parable of the talents, to whom much has been given, much will be demanded. What has God given you? How has He wired you, not only in your spiritual gifts, but in the body of for the body of Christ, but to serve Him in this world? Okay. So, would you think of how God wants you to honor Him through your school, through your work? Is there something that you can do even this week to make an application to your own life? Would you think about that for just 30 seconds, is there something that you can do to persevere in your work, even in this week? Maybe it's back on this. Is there some application that you can make? Okay. When I was in Hawaii, on a summer mission project, I started working for McDonald's, the Lemon Tree McDonald's, and it wasn't enough to pay for all of my expenses at the time, but that was my first job. I worked about 30 hours a week, and I had the early shift, so I had to get up at 4:30 to have my quiet time, and then head out to McDonald's and arrive there at 5:30 in the morning. And every morning I had to take the guava juice and pour it into the dispenser and do things to open up the store. And like I said, I only made $3.35 an hour back in those days, you know, minimum wage. But I did get to eat a free breakfast every day. And I chose the Portuguese sausage, eggs, and rice. I still remember that because it was Hawaiian, you know. But I was a good, hard worker. I did my job faithfully. I still remember jumping on that trash to pack it down, you know, so that it could go into the trash compactor very, very well. And I was on time every day, 5:30, worked all the way till 1:30. I even was able to share the gospel with my assistant manager. I even learned another language, learned some Japanese, learned how to say okino, because that means large, because you're always trying to upsell, and you're always trying to say, oh, do you want a large fries? You know, do you want a large Coke? So you say okino. And so it was a great opportunity, and I praise God for the opportunity to work, because God valued that work. And so God values your hard work. Work and earn your own living and persevere in doing so. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can have this time just to start talking about work and how it's valued and you value our work. We give you thanks and praise. Help us to do our work heartily as unto you. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Pastor Wei, for some really good applications that we can use in our different workplaces. I know for me, I guess, you know, in the PT world, like you said, you know, there are a lot of opportunities to serve others, but, you know, I try to encourage a lot of my patients spiritually as well. You know, a lot of times, like, we kind of develop this relationship with them, and they, you know, start talking about their life and whether or not they go to church. And I remember one that was coming to see me, and she had neck pain, and she was like really like talking about it. And at that time, there was a video going around, or that was on Facebook. It was Monty Williams. I don't know, a lot of you probably have seen it, but his wife had passed away, and he was just talking about how his hope was in Christ and that he knew where his wife was and how she was in heaven. So, you know, he was like, don't cry for me. You know, I don't miss where she is because I know where she is. You know, she's in heaven. And so I just kind of played that for her as I was giving her treatment. I don't know about the legality of that, but I just did it. And she was just really encouraged by it. But those are just, you know, these little things. But it's not always like that. You know, actually, even this week, I was talking to Alicia, and I was sharing with her. I was like, you know, I'm feeling just kind of grumpy, you know, and even when going into work or out of work, I was feeling just a little grumpy, and I don't know how else to explain it. So we always just need to to be mindful of the positions that God puts us in, and that we're always in need of the grace that He shows to us. So will you all please rise and let's sing Glorious Grace together.
can have a seat and we'll go over a few announcements. Just want to turn your attention.